Good morning. Good morning. We're so excited that you're here. My name is Cameron Park. I'm one of the board of advisors here. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, it's probably my fault. I'm a little reserved kind of guy, but I'll be glad to meet you later on. But this is the fourth week in our series called Skeleton in the Closet. I don't know about you, but it's been really convicting in my life every single week. Week one was all about worry and how our worry shows that we don't trust God and we put ourselves on the throne of our lives and we worry. Second week was about gossip. All I can think about is a song, gossip, gossip. You know, just stop it. And how we talk about other people and how we think that the best gossip is going to lead to being the most interesting person, but it's not. And then last week, Brian talked about envy and how we get mad when God is being generous at someone others to someone else. This week we set out to expose the skeleton in the closet of lies. And lying is something that happens very early in life. Just a quick show of hands, how many of you have taught your kids how to lie? Yeah, that's what I thought. Nobody teaches their kids how to lie, but by the time they get to me in high school, I teach high school math. So yeah, that's awesome. Right? You guys are like, oh, this guy's going to talk about lying and he's going to talk about math. No, I'm not going to talk about math. It's about lying. But I get lied to on a daily basis. It is truly remarkable how many 15 to 18-year-old kids think I'm an idiot. It is remarkable. And at our school, we have computers. Every single kid has a MacBook computer. And, you know, the common phrase that I hear from parents and I hear from, you know, other people is like, math has changed so much. You know, it's different. It's so much different. We just teach it different. We teach them the why. But spoiler alert here, you still have to do math with pen and paper. Okay? You have to write it out. Like, I have to write it out with my calculus students, my regular math students. I have to do it on a daily basis. So you have to write it down. And we have these online resources that we have to use. We're encouraged to use. And so I use them quite a bit. So there's this one particular day we're doing a online assignment. You're supposed to work it out. And they're like, okay, I got it. Calculator maybe on the computer. You know, it's like, all right. And then you type your answer. And this kid, this is not just one kid, it's multiple kids on a, it could be anybody, but this one kid sticks out of my mind, he's doing this. So here's the computer, here, you guys are the computer screen. And here, if you don't know, these are arrow keys. So I'm going to be typing using arrow keys, and this is what he looks like. So he looks like that, and I'm going, he clearly is doing math. Like, that's got to be what he's doing. He's got to be doing the math. I mean, I'm just like, you got to think the best in somebody, right? So I go, hey, what are you doing? The MacBooks have a feature where you can swipe and it goes to another desktop. Those of you students that don't think we know, we know. We know. So he does that as I'm walking to him. He swipes and it's the exact assignment on the screen. And I was like, oh, wow. And it said zero questions answered, score of zero. It's like, man, you're working hard. He's like, oh, yeah, I was getting to it. I was just, you know, setting up for the day. Now, keep in mind, this is probably 20, 25 minutes into the class that this kid has acted like he was not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he's lying to me. So I was like, all right, that's fine. So that's kind of my gauge for all my students of whether I'm going to be able to trust them or not is, hey, what are you doing when it's very obvious what they are doing? Are they going to tell me the truth or are they going to tell me a lie? And this kid comes in the next day. He's like, hey, Mr. Park, I'm going to do my work today. I'm like, okay, cool. And guess what he didn't do? His work that day. Then he comes in the next day. Hey, Mr. Park, I'm going to do my work today. Okay, cool, but didn't ask questions, didn't ask for help. I circulated around, still playing the game. Finally, the last day of the week comes in. Hey, Mr. Park, I'm really going to do what I'm supposed to be doing today. I said, look, I don't know who you're trying to say this for me or for you. I know you're not doing your work. Quit lying to me and do your work the way you're supposed to be doing it. Don't quit saying, I'm going to do my work. Prove it. And this kid ruined any trust that I had in him because of the lies he repeatedly told me. And so now it's going to, in my mind, anything this kid tells me, is it going to be the truth? And as kids grow up, we don't just stop lying. We get better at our lying. Adults, we tell lies all the time. We say things like, oh, man, this shirt is kind of tight. Something's wrong with the dryer. Or something like, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. That's wrong. I remember that as a kid. Like, then let's switch. Like that. Let me do that, because I need that. Or we say things like, I'll just have one more. That's mine. I love that one. I'll just have one more and then one tray. I wasn't specific. Or something to the effect of, if you're a man, maybe you hear this. Hey, you look better without facial hair. Yeah, that's a lie. Always look better with facial hair. It's the truth there. But maybe more seriously, we tell lies to our doctor. We tell lies to our spouse. We cover things up. We lie to our kids. We lie to our coworkers. We lie to the people around us on a daily basis. Maybe lying is more rampant than just those silly lies. And I know what you're already thinking, because I thought this too, when just every time I think about lying and get convicted about lying, it's like, my lies aren't that bad. Like, I lie because it's beneficial. I lie to help people. Or you know who lies, and you're elbowing your husband or wife or your kid. Hey, listen up, boy. Like, listen. I know exactly what you're thinking. Somebody else needs to hear this lying message more than you. But let me tell you something. We often want honesty in other people, but we ourselves don't value telling the truth to other people. You know, I know that we see this in television shows, you know, on dating shows especially. The woman comes in, man comes in. I just want somebody that's honest with me. That's a really southern accent there. And then the man, I just want a girl who tells me the truth. And then it's like, it's beautiful cinematography, television, whatever. And the next scene, what are they doing? They're telling the lie themselves. Because that's the way we are. We value honesty when it's given to us, but we don't want to give it back. And we don't want to call it out in our own life. And maybe you're thinking, yeah, you're right, but my lies aren't that bad. So I found this National Geographic article that set out to find, hey, why do we lie? Why do we tell so many lies? What's the purpose in our lies? And it found that only 2% avoid being rude when they lie. 2%. That's out of 100, not 2 out of 5. 2% of all lies in this study were just to avoid being rude. Things like, you don't look fat in that dress, your haircut looks nice, that kind of thing. 5% tell lies to help people that are to avoid danger. So, no, they're not here when they're in danger. Like, no, they're not here at this house. It's, 5%. And then, just so you know, there's a little bit of some discrepancy. 9% either didn't know why they were lying or had a disorder that the reality was false. So that's a very, you want to think about, oh, I don't lie. This is the small percentage of all the lies that there are, is in these categories. So if you lie and it's not one of those categories, this is the more alarming statistic that they found. 75% of people in the survey lied to protect or promote themselves. That was broken down into they lied to evade people, avoid people. They lied to gain financial benefit. They lied to make themselves not look bad after a mistake. 75%, that's a majority of this survey, lied to protect or promote themselves. So maybe your lying is not that good. Maybe our lying is to protect and promote ourselves, because here's the working definition. If you want to write this down, it's our working definition of lying. Lying is deceiving for selfish purposes. Because we lie to our spouse and say, I didn't do that. I don't know how that got on the car. I don't know what I ran over. We lie to our kids. We lie to our coworkers. I didn't do that. Somebody else did that. To make ourselves look better. And that's been an underlying theme in this entire series, is our pride. So when we put ourselves in control of our life, we worry because we can't control it. When we put ourselves in charge of our lives, we think that our gossip is better. Like, I'm just telling the truth. And then envy. I deserve this. I deserve this. And then we lie to protect ourselves. Well, this is going to be the most profound thing you're going to write down today. But you know what lying makes you? Lying makes you a liar. You're like, whoa, that's okay. I didn't have to come here to hear that. But think about it. Once you start lying to people, what do you remember about them in your mind? When people lie to you, oh, that person's a liar. That person doesn't tell the truth. He's a liar. I'm a liar if I lie on a consistent basis. This is a perfect blackmail picture. If you want a picture of me that is like liar and just like, look at this guy, he's a liar. And I just thought about somebody, but anyway. Lying makes you a liar, and that's a label that's hard to shake after a long time. It's a hard label to shake over time because you know people in your life, they're a liar, they're a liar, they're a liar. And that person's trust of you, or the way you trust that person, is devalued because of the lies they've told you. Just like this kid in my class, I can't trust him because of how many lies he's a liar. And the many kids that are like him that say that I was doing my work, that makes him a liar. Lying makes you a liar. And, you know, if you're with us today and you're not a Christian, that's the best I have for you is, hey, you know what? If you're not a Christian, lying makes you a liar. How does that make you feel? Not very good. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to break people's trust. But as a Christian, so I'm going to talk to the Christians in the room for the rest of our time, is as a Christian, we are called to a higher purpose than lying to people. We are called to be higher than a liar. We are not called to be a liar. We're called to be better into what God has for us. When we lie as a Christian, what does that tell people about the truth of the gospel of Jesus? When we lie about worldly, trivial things, like I wasn't there, I didn't do that. When we lie like that, how can people trust us at all with spiritual truth, with the things of God, with the word of God and the Bible? And that, hey, look at all what's God doing for me. If we are a liar, how can people trust us? And not only that, when we lie, we are deliberately going against what God hates. And not only that, we say, you know what, God? The truth is hard. I'm going to take control of this situation by not telling the truth. God, forget what may happen. I am going to lie so that I can get out of this situation. I know I've felt that way before too. It's just, you know what? I don't want what's going to happen after the truth. I'm just going to lie out of it. And so here's what that says, and you can write this down. Here's what that says to God. Lying says, I don't trust what God can do with the truth. Lying says, I don't trust what God can do with the truth. When we lie, we tell God that, you know what? I don't think you can handle this. Whether you mean to or not, that's what we do. It's what we do when we lie. We tell God, you know what, God, I can't handle what the truth is gonna what happen, what's gonna happen with the truth. But what if God could do something powerful with the truth? I don't want that to be what God sees. I don't want to see that, hey God, I don't trust you with the truth when I lie. I don't want to lie. So as Christians, how do we make sure we get this right? How do we make sure that we show God we trust that he can handle the truth and what comes out of it? Well, Paul addresses the church in Ephesians here, and you can turn with us, or you can look on the YouVersion app in Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul's writing to a group of believers to empower them to stop acting like the world, stop acting like you're not saved. And he's imploring them and charging them to do better than that. And then I want to jump in at verse 20 and look at this together. But that is not the way you learned in Christ. So he talks about all these things that the Gentiles do, that non-believers do, and he jumps in and says, that's not what you learned in Christ. So if you're a Christian, you should know better, is what Paul is trying to call out. And that really is like a point in the face. It's like, you're right. You're right, Paul. That's me. I should know better. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. So as a Christian, like I told you, I'm talking to Christians in the room. As a Christian, there was a way you used to live. You used to live like reckless abandon, lying, stealing, cheating, whatever. You were in sin. You were without Christ. Once Christ saves you, there's a difference in your life. That's what Paul is charging. You used to walk like that. Don't do that anymore. Put that old self, put it off. Back to verse 22. So put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through, catch this, deceitful desires. It's corrupt through deceitful desires. And what is lying? Lying is that deceiving for selfish purposes. The old self is rooted in that corrupt, deceitful self. And in verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's talking about, in general, hey, here's how you should live as a Christian. Put away the old self and act like a Christian. So then in verse 25, he starts out a list of things that he's going to say, hey, here's a contrast here. So therefore, and again, we always talk about, hey, what's that therefore, therefore? We already read it. So therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So how do we begin to put away our lies and make sure that we quit lying? It starts with this. Put away the lies. So take your lies. Put them away. Put away the lies. And you notice that the little tag didn't just fall off because I wanted to stop lying. I had to be very intentional to take it off. Just like when you work out, when you get sweaty at your job or whatever, you come home from work, your clothes are all raggedy and worn out and sweaty, and you got to take those off intentionally. It's not just going to fall off. I've tried. You have to be intentional. Just like taking off of those clothes, you have to be intentional to put them away. Put away the lies. Stop it. Put away the lies to cover up your mistakes. Put away the lies that promote yourself. Put away the lies to your spouse, to your kids, to your coworkers that make yourself look better, that protect yourself. Put those lies away. We put away those lies so that we can honor God with our life. That's what a calling as a Christian is, to put those away so that those don't define our life. Because we talked about it. The lying makes you a liar. And if you're a Christ follower, you have to put that away. Because people need to see the gospel in you. People need to see the truth of Jesus in you. And it's one thing to put away your lies, but Paul just doesn't end it there. He says this in verse 25. Having put away those falsehoods, put them away. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. So how, the second point to how we make sure we stop our lying. Put on the truth. Put on the truth. Again, did that sign jump up and put itself around my neck? No. It is an intentional step. We intentionally lie. We have to be intentional to put them away. We have to be intentional to put on the truth on a regular basis. Because look back there at verse 25. I love this. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. And for Christians, he doesn't just end it there. For we are members of one another. When you lie to other believers, you cause disunity in the church. You cause disunity in the body of Christ. You cause a brother and sister in Christ to think that you're a liar. I don't want that to happen. I don't want people in my congregation. I don't want people around at Fusion City Church to think I'm a liar. But that's the reputation that you have if you go around speaking those falsehoods. You got to put on the truth, because the truth is more important than your image, than my image. The truth is more important than that. So we put away our lies, put on our truth on a regular, consistent, intentional basis. That's powerful. I love this passage because of the intentionality. We want these things to happen in our life. We want to stop being a liar. We'll stop being a liar. I want to tell the truth. We'll tell the truth. If we value honesty when people tell us things, then we should be valuing honesty back, regardless of how it makes us feel. Yeah, we can clap for that. I missed it. Sorry. That's my fault. Value the truth. Because when we value the truth, then people will take seriously the gospel of Jesus. That's what's at stake for us as Christians, to follow that. With our coworkers, if we tell the lies, we can never tell them about Jesus when we are just a liar. You got to put it away. Put on the truth. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, like, that's great, but, you know, I want to do this. I want to be intentional. I want to put away my lies. I want to put on the truth. But how? How can I be more intentional? How can I make sure that, get in a connect group. Those people tell you the truth. Those people are going to call you out when you need to be called out. The lies that you tell are going to affect those people, so you need to tell the truth to those people, and they will tell the truth back. Hey, you're a liar. Quit lying. You're telling me a story. I know better. Because once you lie, then everything you say after that is suspect. And this equation that I want to give you an equation here. Sorry. Excuse me. For how you can restore a relationship that's been broken with lies, and how you can have a gauge of, all right, I got a liar in my life. How can I let them back in? How can I show them God's grace? How can I make sure that I can have a right relationship with them and have us to be in unification? It goes like this. This is the equation. Time plus the truth equals trust. Now notice, it doesn't say your time, my time. It says time. You can think about this in your own life. If there's people that you know are liars, it's not going to be like they tell the truth one time and I trust them again. This kid in the back of my room that lied to me every time that week, I'm going to do my work, I'm going to do my work. It's not going to be one day of doing his work and I'm going to trust him. 2 days. It's going to take a while. And that's what, it hurts. It's hard, but you got to take the time. So that's one part of the equation. But you got to tell the truth over time, because lies, it just takes one to two very small lies and someone's trust of you is broken. You know that in your own life. So it takes time. But I don't have time. No, make the time to tell the truth and you can restore that trust. And people in your life, you can't trust a liar, but you want to still show them the gospel. You still want to show them the truth. Give them time to tell the truth and restore that trust. Because the truth is so valuable for us as Christians. It is worth more than your feelings, your image, your ego. The truth is of more value than yourself. So intentionally put away the lies. Put them away. Be intentional. And put on the truth. Put on the truth. Tell the truth when it hurts. Tell the truth, especially when it makes you look bad. Because that's what, as Christians, we should be valuing the truth, because the truth, as Paul said it to the Ephesians, is in Jesus. And how can we show Jesus to the world if we're not telling the truth? Let's pray. Father, we're just thankful for you today. Thankful that you have loved us so much and loved us enough to give us your Son. And Father, as Christians, we are called to a higher purpose than lying. We are called to put away the lies. We are called to put on the truth. Tell the truth when it hurts. And God, when we tell the truth, we trust you that you can handle what's going to happen from there. And it's going to hurt, God. I pray that you'll be there to pick us up when we start telling the truth and continually expose our lies that are in the closet, God. And help us to take the time to tell the truth to people and to value the truth above all else. Father, I thank you for each one that's here today, God. I thank you for their willingness to hear from you. We ask all these things in your name.